That will be presented by Abasia Faribakwe. That's Mark. That's me. So I'm going to do the last presentation. Anyhow, this is the one that was done by my postdoc, which was a very big project with Ching Hong from Wisconsin and David Crowley from UC Riverside. And as you will see in this project, our main focus was actually looking at the persistence of E. coli 0157H7 and other related E. coli solid tablet, the non-0157, in specific soil from California and Arizona. That was the overall arching goal of the study. And as you can see here, we had about four or five publications from this project. And the last one here that I'm presenting is really the last thing that we are doing, that we are actually looking at the microbial communities in this soil. And the previous one here was published in FEMS Microbial Ecology, which look at the effects of microbial community on the survival of 0157 in this soil. And as the two previous speakers have already made their presentation, and the whole of this manuscript, we use a model for our analysis. The strategy that we use here is that we have 16 organic and 16 conventional soils. We use the standard mobile DNA extraction kit, and we did parallel sequencing, and from there we use the model software to do all our analysis. And as you see it here, the soil here from Salinas Valley and another one from Imperial Valley from Southern California, and the one next to it is from Yuma in Arizona. Then when you move out from here, this just shows us the GPS coordinate of where we get the soil from, and a whole bunch of different form of metadata that we use here, the mean annual temperature, precipitation, soil management, soil texture, pH, electrical conductivity, total nitrogen, soluble organic carbon, and a lot of other parameters that we use for this study. As I've already said, we look at many three locations, Yuma, Imperial County, and Salinas Valley. All of you that are here in California, everybody knows what happens here, that this is where we grow about 70% of the summer fresh produce in this country, and most of the winter fresh produce are grown in this area here in Yuma and Imperial Valley. And since a lot of people have already talked about mother and all those things, so what I'm presenting here is just to provide you with some idea of most of the bacterial phyla, the abundance of bacterial phyla that we have here at the genus level, at the 97% cutoff point. There are a few things here that I'm going to note here, that is that when you look at the actinobacteria and proteobacteria, you can see that in the Salinas Valley, you have that proteobacterial composition percent-wise were significantly lower than you have in the desert area. As we continue to talk, always have in mind that what happens in Imperial and Yuma, they have a higher temperature all year round and very low precipitation. Whereas in In Salinas Valley here, you have a very moderate temperature and a moderate level of precipitation. And when we look at the conventional and the organic management, we see significant differences in actinobacteria and in acidobacteria. Then the rest, there were really no significant differences in the rest of the population. Then we did the diversity indices. Everybody that does MODA or CHIME or any of this software, you run into all of this, and we have a total number of sequences that ranges from 21,000 to about, from 16,000 to about 30,000. We went through the normalization process to look at the different OTUs. So this is the normalization process where we normalize into the lowest number of sequences that we have. Then we come up with all this diversity with all these different parameters. And from that point on, we did the trended correspondent analysis to try to put this into different clusters. As you can see, these are the soil from the Salinas Valley from the, with the square. They all cluster away from all the other samples from Imperial Valley and Yuma. There are a lot of reasons for this, which we're not going to go too much into a lot of details about this, but this is the same thing when you use a jackknife permutation of for the analysis. Then we did a CCA, Connecticut Correspondent Analysis of the bacteria community with different soil variables. But from here, one thing I'm going to note, I'm going to point out here is that when we test the significant levels of all the factors here, of some of the factors that are put in here, you see that EC, pH, water holding capacity, sand, total nitrogen, organic carbon, and were the factors that contributed significantly to changes in the microbial community from the samples that we studied. Then we also tested the similarity index. What I need to point out here is that with all the analysis that we did here, what we observed from here and that confirmed so many things was that site was a significant factor. It wasn't management, whether it was conventional or organic management, but site was the significant factor that contributed a lot to changes in microbial community. Then we did this VPA analysis, variation partitioning analysis. And what this showed us was that P here stands for soil physical properties, and C here stands for the chemical properties, and G here stands for geographic location. And what suggests here is that 50% of the variations, or almost 51% of the variations that we have in microbial community were mainly associated with location. So that confirmed some of the previous analysis that we did, and only 13% were unexplained. Then the next thing that we did here is what David Crowley from our UCR Department of Environmental Science did. He likes to use artificial neural network analysis to do some more predictions to see what will happen to the soil microbial community. For instance, if there are changes in EC, or if there are changes in pH, or if there are changes in a lot of parameters. So what will happen. This is what David did, which I think was extremely nice for this analysis. And he did a similar thing that we published on the previous paper. So when you look at this, there are a lot of neat things. When you see the changes in pH, then you notice that when you have changes in pH, you have a significant changes in the percent of protobacteria. And the same thing with clay, some more changes with the percentage of maybe protobacteria here as you increase the percent of clay in your sample. Then when you look at EC or salinity, it seems that here that protobacteria and also actinobacteria has almost the two ones that with the two major changes. Then he turned around and looked at the four major classes of protobacteria, the alpha, beta, delta, and the gamma protobacteria, and looking at water-soluble organic carbon, which is the most available carbon source that these microbes will use. Then you also see that with the increase in water-soluble organic carbon, and then with increase in EC, it seems that the alpha protobacteria are those that you get a lot of changes from. Then he looked at the pH and also still observed the alpha protobacteria. So the conclusion that we have here, or some of the advantages that we summarize from here, is that the artificial neural network, this analysis is a nonlinear analysis, so it can allow you for better fit to a data exhibiting some complex behavior, and also provide accurate prediction in the presence of uncertain data or some sort of a measurable error. And it's relatively fast processing, that is what it seems to. And also allow you to update, look at the changes in the response, and be able to apply the model if you are actually doing some sort of a model study where you put things in some sort of a microcosm and you begin to look at what will happen if you have changes in pH. What will go up? What will come down? So it's really the beginning of the way we think that we're going to be looking at some of these sequences to see if you add this, what will happen? Or if you decrease this, or if you increase this, what will happen? We hope that if we can do this, and if we can replicate this itself, that this will be very, very important. The terms of summary, we come up that artificial neural network models provide a powerful approach for examining environmental variables that shape plants and beneficial microbial communities. And as I said, we need further research and to actually do the real lab study to see if the real lab study will correlate with some of the prediction that the system is trying to do. And the general conclusion here is that actinobacteria, protobacteria, cyanobacteria, and Bacteroides were about 75% of the total microbial community. And here we'd like to thank the funder for this project, AfriMIFA, and this is the project number. And that's the end of my presentation. And if you have any question, welcome to have some questions, plus questions for the other speakers that I believe that are still here.
I have a question, Mark. You over- correlate this microbial community analysis with some culture data? And I know that you're working with two very different taxonomic levels, but when you look at, say, the gamma proteobacteria and then what you were getting from the E. coli, did you see any correlations, or did you look for correlations with how your culture-based data might be fitting with the microbial community data from the 16S study?
What we did here, though, I did not talk a lot about the E. coli data here. Maybe she has read some of the data that have been published, but what we did here, with what we did with the E. coli data and the microbial community data, was to really look at what are some of the major phyla that may affect the survival of E. coli 0157A7 in our soil. And what we observed from there is that overall, microbial community did not have a significant effect of it did not have a significant effect on the survival of E. coli 0157. But specific bacterial phyla had a lot of effect, like Acidobacteria, Actinobacteria, Firmicutes. They have a significant effect on the survival of E. coli 0157. The reason for that is all those are the major degraders of organic carbon. So as they degrade organic carbon, there are more food available for 0157 to survive. Whereas some of the gamma proteobacteria did not have a major effect because gamma proteobacteria, E. coli is part of that. So they're in the same niche, they're competing for the same thing. So those were some of the things that we saw when we look at microbial community and the survival of E. coli 0157, which is actually part of the study that we're trying to explore now, that I'm trying to set up things with David so that we can look more in detail to really see if we can come up with who, what are they doing in the system, and who is playing what part.
We, okay. How much time does it take to cluster sequences and model? Because I'm continuously running into the problem that it's taking a really long time. Is that normal, or the clustering step is when you need to work with model?
That's normally what it's doing.
The only thing I can tell you is that just have patience. They will run a little bit longer than you think. Just have patience. Because if you have a lot of samples, they're going to run a little bit longer. And if you have a small data set, you can run it at a relatively short period of time. But most of the time, you're going to run it overnight, depending on the number of sequence tags that you are dealing with.